Take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. It is a blessing to be here. It is great to see everyone that is present this morning. You have come to worship and you have come to learn. And as we have come to do those things in reference to pleasing our God, hopefully and prayerfully, the things that we talk about this morning, the things that we reveal and teach from God's Word will be done in a way that is receptive. And also, as you receive it, you will take it and you will allow it to improve your service to God. You know, in this world, we have a lot of things going on daily in our lives that can, as we talked about last Sunday morning, distract us. And things have changed so much in the last 40 years with technology that has transpired over that time period, as well as just the way that people live their everyday lives. You know, you go back 40, 50 years ago, how different were things? Families seemed to be a lot closer together. Children grew up and they lived in the towns that they grew up in, and they worked in those towns, and congregations of the Lord's people just seemed to be, you could depend on people being there on a regular basis because they didn't have so many other things that would distract them. And our day and time, people work on Sundays. I can remember the days when nobody worked on Sundays hardly, except in big manufacturing plants that had to be continually running all the time. Your grocery stores, the restaurants, everything were, all those things were closed down. Things have changed. Along with these changes, people have had a change in their attitude towards the Bible. People look at the Word of God today and they think, well, that's just a book that's absolutely irrelevant to my life today, because it was written, after all, thousands of years ago. The New Testament, it's almost 2,000 years ago since the last book was written. And you think about that and you think, well, how could it have relevance to me? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the relevancy of the old has the Word of God. In Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, in verse 16, the prophet Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." And then the sad part, "But they said, we will not walk in it." Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is. Jeremiah was a prophet sent to the children of Israel, specifically the tribe of Judah, in their very last days. Their apostasy had become complete. He began prophesying during the days of Josiah. And as he prophesied, of course, during the reigns of Josiah, things were going pretty good because Josiah was a good king. Now, his father Manasseh was not. Manasseh had led them into all types of idolatrous practices. Well, Josiah tried to restore the religion, the pure religion of God, to the tribe of Judah. And he succeeded in many ways. But there were still many problems with the people and with the leadership of the people. And as he instructed his scribe Barak to write these things down to the children of Judah, he scolded them, he instructed them, and urged them to repent. Which, you know, I tell you, I don't think I would have liked to have been in Jeremiah's shoes, because you know what God told Jeremiah when he first started prophesying? He said, "This people is hard-hearted." He said, "They will not listen to you." They're not going to listen, but he sent him to preach anyway. it's much more encouraging to know that people listen and know that they will listen. But God, at the very beginning, told Jeremiah, they're not going to listen. He prophesied from the days of Josiah all the way to the last king of Judah, in which the city fell under the siege of Nebuchadnezzar, in which he finally destroyed the city in 586 B.C. Already taken two other bands of captives out of the city, but he finally utterly destroyed the city in 586 B.C. Jeremiah foretold this destruction, and he tried to get the people to repent, but they would not. For 50 years, he tried to get the people to repent, but they would not. Judah had rejected the Lord for the idols. Judah was guilty of gross and personal unrighteousness. And Judah had hypocritically claimed that they were God's people. God's not going to destroy us because this is where the temple is. This is God's chosen city, and we are God's chosen people. And thus they would not listen to what Jeremiah said. And as he preached, they refused and continued to refuse. And so eventually they were destroyed. The people also listened to the false prophets of the land who said, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. According to Jeremiah, there is no peace, but the prophet said there's peace. God's not going to destroy this place or this people. So Jeremiah had a hard work, a hard road in front of him, but he continued to preach for 50 years, as I said. They continued to refuse. He foretold their destruction. In fact, in Jeremiah 19, verses 10 and 11, he tells them that Judah would be so destroyed as a nation, and Israel as a whole, as a nation, would be so destroyed that they could never be made whole again. Like a potter's vessel that is completely destroyed, Judah will never be made whole again. He also foretold that the last king of Judah, Jeconiah, that no one would ever reign in Jerusalem who descended from him. By the way, Jesus Christ descended from him. That's how I know he's not going to go back to Jerusalem and reign. But Israel would be so destroyed. But sadly, it wasn't because God didn't try. It's not because God did not send them prophets, and even Jeremiah encouraging them to stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, "We will not." We need to go back to the old paths today as well. There has been for the last 40 years, 30 years especially, prophets among us. I'm talking about those who profess to be churches of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who have tried to lead people away from the old paths. In fact, here is a quote by a very prominent and a very popular author. He wrote this book back in the 1990s. By Rubel Shelley, he says, "The Spirit of God is still moving and acting in the church today, and we must be more open to it. The result will be exhilarating changes in the worship and mission of the church. It has been a mistake," listen to him, "it has been a mistake to emphasize the old paths because we need to be open to change. The church has got to change. If it doesn't change, my kids are not going to stay with it. I'm probably not going to stay with it. Mine was the last generation that would tolerate indoctrination." Now, this is a gospel preacher back almost 40 years ago. And this view he was espousing as well as some others back then. And it has continued on. It has grown. And we see it throughout churches of Christ today. I see it on Facebook all of the time. The Bible has become antique. They don't study it. They don't read it to study it, to learn. Indoctrination is not something that people tolerate. In fact, they have actually been conditioned not to tolerate it. And there are various ways that that's happened. But notice he says, it has been a mistake to emphasize the old past because we need to be open to change. My friend, listen. Why is it, and how could it possibly be, a mistake to emphasize the old past? What does that mean? Don't emphasize the Bible. People don't want it. Doesn't that sound a lot like Jeremiah's day? We need to change. What are we going to change to? Idolatry? Yep, that's exactly what's happened. People do what they want to do instead of what God told them to do. What is that other than idolatry? Who's become your God? You. That's what's happened. And it's happening in the brotherhood all around us. And we need to be steadfast, and we need to hold on to the old past. Not, don't let ourselves fall into the trap of becoming like the people of Judah and other people in the history of the world and deciding not to accept or believe and follow the old paths, the path that God has revealed. You go back in Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning back up in verse 10. Jeremiah 6 in verse 10, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed, because behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. It's so sad. But it's also so true. People's love for the Word of God or desire for the Word of God is being stripped away, layer by layer, with one thing after another thing that, again, consumes our lives. We don't have time for the Word of God. It becomes a burden to read it and study it and meditate upon it. What is our attitude towards the Word of God? In verse 11, he says, therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside and on the assembly of young men together, for even the husband shall be taken with the wife. There are consequences for our disobedience. There are consequences. Listen, we have the ability to choose certain things and certain courses in our life, what to love and what to hate, what to do and what not to do. We have choices in our life. We have choices whether we're going to stand or we're going to sit. We have choices whether to pay respect or not to pay respect. But let me tell you something. Even though you have the power to choose, you do not have the power to choose the consequences of your choices. The consequences of your choice will follow whether you choose those consequences or not. You choose to reject God, what are the consequences? You may not like the consequences, and you won't. But you're going to get that consequence anyway. You will reap what you sow, is the idea. I am full of the fury of the Lord, Jeremiah says. I'm weary of holding it in. The people's disobedience had really frustrated him. And so, the aged with him who is full of days, and their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Listen, you reject God, and God will reject you. And you will suffer the consequences. The relevancy of the old past. Today, we are so enlightened. We're so knowledgeable. Knowledge is the God of our age. We're pursuing it with all of our might. Let me tell you something. Knowledge without wisdom, the wisdom of God, is absolutely worthless in the overall end of things. We can send a man to the moon and back. We can do all kinds of amazing things. But you know what? At the end of the day, When we stand before God naked before Him for all we've done and for all that we even thought, we're going to be there just ourselves. We're going to receive the consequences of our deeds. And if we pursued knowledge and excluded Him, excluded His wisdom, then we will bear the consequences of that. There's no question about that. In verse 13 it says, because from the least of them even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. You have people in political powers, you have people in religious powers who are hypocritical. They deal falsely. They are governed by covetousness. They want their power, they want their money, and they will do anything and everything to get it. From the prophet even to the priest. In the religious world today, people are, yes, fleecing others. I mean, they fly around in private jets, and they have air-conditioned doghouses, live in mansions, and drive million-dollar cars. I was listening to, downloaded on my iPhone a couple of weeks ago, some stuff. I heard a Ray Stevens song, so I said, I used to love listening to Ray Stevens, so I downloaded some of his songs. And one of the songs that Ray Stevens sang was, If Jesus Had a Rolex. If Jesus Had a Rolex. And he was talking about this preacher who came on TV and you know, trying to sell him salvation, say, give me your money, send me your money. But he had that Rolex on, you know, and drove fancy cars. He just couldn't picture Jesus doing that. You know what? I don't picture Jesus doing that either. And I don't picture a faithful man of God doing that, living that way. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't work. But they're governed by covetousness. And they have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Everything's all right. We need to know that things are not all right when things are not all right. They sent a false message of peace to the people, and they believed it. And so Jeremiah, again, exclaims, were they ashamed when they had committed committed abomination? Nope. No, they were not. They were not ashamed at all, nor did they know how to blush. There's no shame. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. So again, God's judgment is coming upon all the disobedient and those who reject Him. Now, who are those who are going to be rejected? Those who refuse the old path. Again, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Here's God's call to the people of Jeremiah's day. Here's God's call to us. Stand in the ways and see. And ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Stand in the ways and see. I want to note some things about this short verse that are very important. Number one, I want to suggest to you that God has indeed spoken. Thus says the Lord. God spoke to them through the prophets. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Jesus Christ is God's spokesman, the prophet that God prophesied back in Deuteronomy 18 verse 15. I will send a prophet whom the people shall hear. And anyone who does not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among their people. Matthew 17 and verse 5 at the Mount of Transfiguration, God speaks from heaven. As Jesus is standing there in His glorified form, and Peter, James, and John are standing there and they're witnessing this, and the voice comes down and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have said to you." Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 again. You know, the Hebrew writer emphasized that in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. Will we hear Jesus? Listen, God has spoken. Let's understand that. God has spoken, and God speaks today. He speaks to us through the Bible. Jesus Christ is God's spokesman for us. He is the one through whom God speaks. And how does He do it? The apostles were chosen by Jesus. They were commissioned by Jesus. And they were chosen by the Holy Spirit to write these things down so that we can have them and know them and understand them. In fact, Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 3 through 5, Paul talks about the mystery and how the Holy Spirit had inspired him, had revealed to him this mystery, which he wrote down in a few words and wherein we can read and understand. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. God has spoken to us through His Scripture. Will we listen? God has spoken. God has not only spoken, He has also preserved His Word for us. We have it. So the prophet says, stand in the ways and see. God's spoken. Now, there's something for you to do in regard to that. Stand in the ways and see. That is, stop, pause, and reflect. Pay attention, examine yourself. Stand in the ways and see. We live such busy lives. We're so busy going here and there and everywhere. As we talked about last Sunday morning, the distractions that are all around us. Have we allowed the distractions around us to limit, reduce, in fact, perhaps even completely kill our spiritual growth? Because it takes time to grow spiritually. It takes effort to grow spiritually. Let us stop and pause and reflect. Stand in the ways and see. Stop and consider in the ways. There are more ways than you can shake a stick at. There are more ways than we can count. But I want to submit to you, there's only one way that's good and only one way that's right. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now that broad way is where all of it, or every other way is, except the one true way. The one true way is entered through that narrow gate, and it's difficult. It's straight, and it leads to life. But Jesus said, few there be that find it. We need to stop and consider. We need to see. That is, we need to understand where we are and where we're going. We need to reflect and consider. As the Bereans, in Acts 17 and verse 11, they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things that they were taught were so. They had a more noble heart. So let us stand in the ways and see and ask for the old past, despite what Reuben Shelley says or anybody else. We need to do the same thing. We need to ask for the old past. That is, we need to ask, what has God said? The prophet Jeremiah, throughout the book of Jeremiah, uses the expression, "Thus says the Lord," over and over again. And that's what really counts, isn't it? What does the Lord say? What has God said about this or that? Well, that's a good question. What has God said about this or that? Because many people have the idea that God only spoke about certain things way back yonder that no longer apply to us today. Well, I want to submit to you, my friend, that the things that God said back then still apply to us today and are still extremely relevant. In fact, listen to this. There is nothing that you can face or will face in your life today in 2016, not one thing, that the Word of God cannot instruct you in, guide you in, and explain to you whether it's good or bad. The principles that are set forth in the Word of God are everlasting. And as we study and search the Scriptures and we come to an understanding of the principles that are taught therein, we will be able to then apply them to any circumstance that comes up in our life. What has God said? And if I know what God has said, then I know how to properly apply these things to my life today. How should I live my life? In fact, again, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be what? Perfect. What? Thoroughly equipped unto what? Every good work. Thoroughly equipped. Fully furnished. We need to seek God in His way in everything. What is God's will? Well, He's revealed what His will is. That is for me to serve Him, for me to obey Him, for me to be pure and holy and to stay away and keep clean from the things of the world. The old paths. The old paths, by the way, is the revealed paths, the revealed pattern. What God has said, ask for the old paths. Is that what we're seeking? God's law, God's judgments, God's testimonies. Those are words that are often thrown out in the Old Testament. God's laws, God's testimonies, and God's judgments. What's the difference between them? Oh, they're all three very much connected. But the idea of law, okay, thou shalt not murder, right? Testimonies, if you murder, this is what's going to happen. Judgments, God, murder is wrong. Can we understand that? That would apply to anything today. We just use that as an illustration. Think about it. Murder is wrong. God says so. It's against His law. How many murders? What murders? What about abortion? What about infant murder? Isn't that murder? Absolutely. We can apply the principles of God's Word to any circumstance in life. The revealed pattern is what it is, where the good way is, by the way. That's the revealed pattern is the good way, God's way. It's the only good way. There are no other ways that are good. We are fitted and presented with every good work in the Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 again. Every good work is talked about in the Scripture. Therefore, if the Scriptures do not talk about it, then what is it? Not a good work. But the good way, that is what God's Word leads us down, the good path. The book of Psalms is filled with the illustrations of the path of God, the path of God, and leading me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Psalm 19 and verses 7 through 9, He's a light unto my path. Over and over and over you could go. God's way is the good way. Listen. You reject God's way. And what's going to happen is that down the road, you're going to find yourself wondering why in the world your life is so messed up. You reject God's way, that's going to come. You follow God's way, and you're going to be led in a path of security. Now, I'm not saying there won't be troubles, because there will be. Hardships, they'll come. But you follow God's way, there's strength, security, and there's comfort, and there's peace, and there's hope all the way down that path, regardless of what goes on around you. But you depart from God's way, there's going to come a day when you're going to think, how did I get here? How did I mess up my life so bad? Our way, if not God's way, not a good way. And it will lead to destruction every time. When I start using these phrases regarding what I do, well, I think that, wait a minute, I feel like, that's the st- standard most people use today. Or what about this one? I know. Well, look, it's good to know things. It's good to know the things of God especially. Knowledge in and of itself is not bad, but as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, knowledge puffs up and love edifies. Knowledge can lead us away from God. And when I start saying I know, it just there's some arrogancy going on. I know. Now, if I'm talking about what God says, okay. I know what God says because there it is, black and white. I need to seek after the old paths. I know that's right. But when I start depending on my own knowledge, I'm in trouble. Or I want my own thing, my own desires. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof, the ways of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says. Jeremiah 10, 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. I need to walk in the good way. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. We have a choice. We can walk in the things of God, the ways of God. We can serve God. Joshua 24 and verse 15, he's talking to the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Deuteronomy 30 and verses 11 through 20, Moses sets before the people two choices, life or death. I've laid before you this day life or death, therefore choose life. Got a choice. Choose the good way, the old path, or choose death. Those are your choices, my friend. God's way is the way to life. Any and every other way is the way to death. No exception to that. But you got a choice in the matter. You are the servants to whomsoever you yield yourselves servants to obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Romans chapter 6 and verses 16 and 17. You've got the choice. Obey what the Lord says. That's what it means to walk in it, okay? You choose. Am I going to walk in the Lord's way or am I not going to walk in the Lord's way? Remember, you have the power to choose, but you do not have the power to choose the consequences of your choice. Obey what the Lord says. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, he said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus said, I will say unto them, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity or lawlessness. I never knew you. Will we or will we not be doers of the word, not hearers only? James 1, 22 through 25. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. We make that choice whether we're going to obey him or not. The path has been presented to us. It's been set before us. It's been provided for us. Will we choose to enter that path and to travel that path or not? You know, to walk in it is to walk within the path that God has laid before us. Listen, you can stray to the right or you can stray to the left. You cannot do what God says or you can go beyond what God says and do your own thing. Either way, you've not stayed in the path. To stay in the path is to walk according to what God has revealed. Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, that whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4 and verses 11 says, speak as the oracles of God. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. What I teach, what I preach must be according to the oracles of God. What God has said. Why is it that so many, well, God didn't say I couldn't do that. God didn't say I couldn't do that. He didn't have to. Because he told you what to do. He's told you what he wants. He told you how to live. Yes, he's told you a lot of things not to do as well. But he doesn't have to tell you everything not to do. All he has to do is tell you what to do. And if we're going to walk in that path, we walk by what he said, not by what he hasn't said, right? To stay within the revealed pattern. That's walking by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul told Timothy to keep the pattern of sound words which I have given to you. We need to walk by faith, not by sight, not by what we think or what we feel, but by faith. That is what God has said, what God has revealed. Now, let me quickly give you some examples of some who did not walk by faith. Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. Cain offered sacrifices to God, but they were not according to what God had told him to do, apparently. Because we're told in Hebrews 11 and verse 4 that Abel offered his by faith, but Cain did not. And Abel was accepted. Cain was rejected. To do something by faith is to do what God said. Abel did what God said. Cain did not. Cain was rejected. Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. They offered strange fire before the Lord. They were priests, sons of Aaron, and they offered burnt incense to God, and they had gotten fire from a source that God had not commanded them. In other words, God had said, get the fire for your service in this regard, on the burning incense, get the fire from the altar, which was to burn perpetually. God himself started that fire, by the way. And that's the fire they were to use. But they got fire from somewhere else. Apparently, they did not think that God really meant what he said. Apparently, they got the idea, well, God's really not serious about this. Or, you know, maybe they just thought, well, you know, God doesn't know everything. Maybe they thought that their concepts and their ideas were just as good as God's. Again, they had the power to choose, but they did not have the power to choose the consequences of their choice. God sent fire down from heaven and destroyed them. Moses, Numbers 20, in verses 8 through 24. God said, speak to a rock and I'll bring water out of this rock for the people. Moses struck the rock twice instead of only speaking. He spoke to it also, by the way. He said, water, come out of this rock. He spoke to this rock, but he struck it also. You know, that wasn't obeying God. God said, speak to it, and Moses did something other than what God said. He didn't walk in the path. He did not walk in the path that God had given. King Saul. We could talk about King Saul for a while. David's ox cart. Here's a really good example. David makes this brand new ox cart to transport the Ark of the Covenant on. Because David wants to move it from where it was up to Jerusalem, where he was going to prepare a place. And so David, everything was good as far as his intentions. He wanted the Ark to be in Jerusalem. And he made the best ox cart he could have made. It was a brand new ox cart, apparently for that very purpose and that only purpose. And so David went and proceeded to move the Ark of the Covenant on this brand new ox cart. And they went across Nacon's threshing floor. The oxen stumbled. And Uzziah reached up to touch it, to hold it, to steady it. And he died. Because God said, do not touch the ark lest you die. Now, God had specified how the priests were to carry how they were to transport the ark. David was not either not aware of that or had forgotten that, but he had come up with another way. And it cost a man his life, and it cost God's displeasure. And so David went back and researched how they were to carry the ark, so he reordained. In fact, he rebuked the priests about this. If we'd have done this the first time, yep, that's right, if we'd have done it the first time, they didn't walk in the paths of God. Jeroboam did not walk in the paths of God by building altars in Dan and Bethel, where God did not authorize worship. And Uzziah burned incense. He was a king. He was not a priest. He burned incense to God. And he became leprous because he did not walk in the paths. And so, you know, we have warnings as well in 2 John verse 9. Whoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. But whoever abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Will we abide in the doctrine of Christ? That is, will we walk in the paths of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If we do, then we will find rest for our souls. But only if we obey the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His commandments, for they shall have the tree of life. But you know, the things that God has revealed regarding morality, salvation, worship of the church, the work of the church. Listen, God has revealed His path. God has revealed what He wants, and we need to follow that. Sadly, just like in the days of Jeremiah, you know, people say the same thing that they said. We will not walk in it. They think that, well, that's just not the way of success. That's not the way of growth. That's not the way that the church is going to prosper in the future. We've got to change from the old paths to new paths so we can grow. And my friend, that is foolishness. The only way that we're going to be who God wants us to be is to follow the old paths. And if people don't want it, well, let's have the attitude of Jeremiah and just weep about that and be brokenhearted about it, but let us dare not change or deviate from the old paths. Very likely that people will not want it. It's very likely that people will choose their own way rather than God's way. They have a choice. And even though they have the power to choose, they do not have the power to choose the consequences. Listen, we have a choice. And our choice will have consequences. Will we walk in the old paths, or will we stray away and do our own thing? The consequences, by the way, that Jeremiah talked about can be found as you go on through beginning in verse 17. I will set a watchman over you, listen to the sound of the trumpet, but they said, we will not listen. Therefore hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people. The fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my word, nor my law, but rejected it. For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba, and sweet cane from far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall on them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus says the Lord, behold, a people comes from the north country, and a great nation will be raised up from the farthest parts of the earth. They will lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride on horses and as men of war, set in array against you, O daughter of Zion. What happened? That nation came and destroyed them. Because they said, we won't walk in it. So our question today, what about us? Will we hear God's word? Will we hear the Lord? Will we stop and stand in the way and seek and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it? And find rest for our souls, or will we not? God's word is just as relevant today as it was then. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle, Paul tells the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. And I want to submit to you that the word of God, we're told in 1 Peter 2, 1, verses 23 through 25, will last forever. We've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Psalms 102 in verse 12, verse 26. The law of God will never pass away. It will last forever. It is established for eternity. Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus said, "My words will not pass away." Psalms 119 and verse 89, "Thy word is forever settled in heaven, O Lord." It's not going to change. We will be judged by the words of Jesus Christ. John 12 and verse 48. "The words that I have spoken to you, they will judge you in the last day," Jesus said. Will we hear the Lord? God's law doesn't change. What he said was wrong 2,000 years ago and sinful, still sinful. And so our plea is to go back to the Bible. Go back to the Word of God. We want to be a local church that is wholly committed to following the old paths, regardless whether people will accept it and follow it or not. I long for that to take place, that they would indeed receive it, that they would listen, that everyone would listen and follow the old paths. But whether they do or they don't, we must be committed to following those old paths where the good way is. We need to be pure in doctrine and pure in practice, whether it's popular or not, whether it's liked by the masses or not. When it comes to the plan of salvation, look, I have no authority to change it. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." I do not have the right, I do not have the authority, nor do you, to change that to something else. I don't have the right to tell someone to be saved by saying the sinner's prayer. No one does. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Will we hear him? In our worship, we must worship in spirit and in truth. We must worship with reverence and godly fear. I don't have the right to change that and worship how I want to. When it comes to the work of the church, I don't have the right to incorporate the church into doing the things that I think they ought to be doing. We need to go to the old paths. What did the church do in the first century? How did they do their work? What did they do? How did they support that work? How were they organized in their work? We need to study the pattern and follow that pattern, because then and only then will we be pleasing to the Lord and will we find rest for our souls. All of the other religious groups in Little Rock, Arkansas, they may say, "Oh, we don't want to follow those old paths." Just like in the days of Jeremiah, the consequences will take place that they've chosen. The road that they chose will lead to those consequences, whether they like them or not. When we move away from the firm foundation of "Thus saith the Lord," we begin to measure ourselves by what we have done. And when we take one little step off of the firm foundation of what God has revealed, then we're going to find ourselves getting further and further and further, until finally, we won't even look like a church of the Lord. Sadly, we've seen that happen. When it comes to man's way, men emphasize self and feelings and rationalization. We need to go back to God's way. Absolute truth, the need for obedience, the need to submit to God's word, and what God said is sin, my friend, is sin, whether we like it or not. Will we hear the Lord? "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your soul." Don't be like those folks. Don't say, "No, we're not going to walk in it." Consider where you are this morning. Consider where you are. Are you walking in the path that God has set before you? Or have you chosen your own path? Are you doing your own thing? Where are you on the road to salvation? Have you submitted your will to God's will and obeyed the gospel? Are you asking for the old paths? Do you really want to know what God says? Or are you just going by what you think or what you feel? Let us seek the old paths. Ask for them and walk in them. Are you walking in the path of God? Then and only then will you find rest for your soul. Because any other path, the day is going to come. The day is going to come, I assure you, where you're going to say, "I wish I hadn't taken this path. My life is totally..." Because you made the wrong choice. They didn't. Will you? If we can help you this morning in obeying the gospel or whatever your need may be, we'd love to be able to help you get your life right with God and get on the right path and follow it. We'll help you, strive to help you follow it. If we can in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?